My gracious Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the word that you've given us in the book of Jonah. When we examine it, it can teach us so much about you and your expectations and what you hold dear, what your intent is, what your priorities are. And Father, let us read it with humility so we can learn from it all those things that you are communicating. Because I feel like a lot of times we can miss the forest for the trees, meaning we miss the bigger message that you're trying to communicate to us because of the details that we get caught up in. You know, sometimes we get fixated on the large fish that's described in the book of Jonah, and we seem to miss the bigger ideas here that you, as the Almighty Creator, want us to understand. This is a very important book from the way I read it, Father. And now I would like to read your word back to you and then share with you what I think I've learned and what I think that you are communicating to us through this book. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, "I call out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, 'I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple.' The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows, God may turn and relent, and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant, and it made it cover up over and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when the dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant, for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? Father, I thank you again for this, because it is very instructive of who you are as the sovereign Lord of the heavens and the earth. It really, Father, shows me that no plan of yours shall be thwarted, even though you direct this prophet, this man of Israel, to go to Nineveh, and he runs in the opposite direction, so he doesn't have to, because he doesn't want to see these people saved. Even in spite of that, your will is done. You're able to basically force Jonah to go do it. And I'm thankful for that. And I think we as your children need to remember that we should always be ready to do your will and not try to run in the other direction, because no plan of yours shall be thwarted. That reinforces what Scripture says time and again, that your plans shall come to be. And Father, as I read through this, I see that as the Creator, you have control over your creation. It shows you able to control the fish that swallows Jonah, command it to spit him out, the plant that grows up over his head, the worm that eats the plant and it dies, the storm at the sea when Jonah tries to flee to Tarshish. Father, you have control over it all. And that is nothing new through the rest of the Scriptures. You command earthquakes, Balaam's ass. There are multiple times when it shows that you are in control over your creation. And you're a God who is a God of mercy and grace, and that you relent from disaster. And here, I'm looking for the verse that it says. Here in chapter 4, Father, it says here, when Jonah's complaining about the Ninevites being saved, he says, "That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." And Father, we know you are these things. You show it in how you deal with Nineveh in this book. For clearly you were angry with them, and you had destruction appointed for them, but yet you sent a prophet to them. It shows your grace and your mercy. And because you didn't destroy them, you gave them a chance with the prophet. You were slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And then when they repented, you are a God that expects us to repent of our sins and call out to you. And now it's to call out and believe on the name of Jesus Christ. But it shows that you will relent of the disaster when people repent. And Father, as Christians, we are assured by what you tell us in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will forgive us those sins. Father, we are so grateful for that. You're a God of mercy and grace. And here also, what is astounding about this, I think, is that you saved Gentiles. You saved a city of Gentiles. You sent one of your chosen people, whatever, Israelites, to tell them that they needed to repent. And they did, and you saved them. And Father, that's reassuring for us that you don't just save your chosen people in the nation of Israel, but you save the Gentiles. And the scripture shows this. I mean, you look at the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has Rahab and Ruth in it, who are Gentiles. And then you send out the Apostle Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles to save us, Lord. To save us. Father, we're so thankful for that. That you are a Savior of all people who call upon the name of the Lord. And we also have to see here how you use people to carry your message of repentance and salvation. You used Jonah to do this. You didn't speak from the heavens to the people of Nineveh. You sent one of your servants. As unwilling as he was, you sent a man to preach repentance and salvation to this people who did repent, and you relented from your disaster. But we need to remember that, because as your ambassadors here, as your children, we carry the message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ to the people around us. And that's what your expectation is to carry that message of peace. And here you demonstrate that you love your enemies. Clearly, the Ninevites were an enemy. I think also, that's not explicit here, but they're an enemy of your people in Israel. And that's probably one reason why Jonah was so upset, because they were an adversary of Israel. He didn't want them saved. And yet you love your enemies. You loved us as sinners, and you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us while we were yet sinners. He died for us to take our sins away from us. So we also, to be like our Father in heaven, to be like you, we should not hate our enemies, but we should desire to take to them the message of salvation like Jonah did to the Ninevites, but he was bitter about it. And Father, help us not to be bitter, to do those things, to pray for all people like you instruct us, and take all people the message of peace with God. It should never be seen among us to be upset about who you have mercy on, because you will have mercy upon who you will have mercy. And the scripture is very clear about that. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Help us not to be upset like Jonah or bitter about it. But Father, let us rejoice. Let us instead rejoice in people who repent and believe, and now believe in the name of Jesus Christ. It should bring us great joy. And also, as you read this, it talks about folk. It talks about our priorities. I mean, here right at the end, Jonah is said to pity the plant for which he did not labor, he didn't grow, and it came up in a day or in a night and perished in a night. And yet not pity the people of Nineveh. And God makes it very clear here that he is more concerned about people than he is about plants and animals and things like that. And that, Father, should be our priority. And these days, it seems like people are placing more priority on the planet and green things, where the focus should be on the salvation of people, like it is of you, Father, in here, the salvation of the people in Nineveh. Father, forgive us when we have other priorities, whether it's some misdirected priority to saving the planet instead of people, or our own self-indulgence, our disobedience for not taking the word of life to the people around us. Father, I thank you for what you have written here, and how it is abundantly clear that you are sovereign, you are the Almighty and all powerful, and your will be done. And Father, help us. You know, we should never think that we know better than you. Like perhaps Jonah in this book. Help us to submit to your will and accept it. Help us to be your humble servants here on this earth. Help us to carry out your decrees, what you have directed us to do. For Father, you are holy, and your ways are true and just, and they're higher than ours. Your thoughts are higher than ours. We have such a hard time understanding. Help us to obey. Maybe we don't understand, but help us to obey without even that understanding, because we trust you, because you are holy. I pray that you use us, Father, for your glory. For we are but dust. And we have to seek you in all things. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. And to you, Father, be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.